I changed the names to protect the guilty. It's not Luane and I, but we can certainly fit into this. Ted and Tammy, an older couple, was sitting around the house one day, and Tammy happened to mention, "Ted, do you remember the time we went to California, spent a week there?" "Oh, yeah, Tammy, that was wonderful. And the cable car ride, oh, man, that was so exciting. And the beautiful Bay Area, oh, we loved it." "Yeah," and then Tammy says, "and at the end of the cable car ride, we stopped at an Italian restaurant." Well, here's where it can start. Italian? It wasn't Italian. It was an Irish restaurant. No, it wasn't. I remember distinctly, I got the eggplant parmesan, and it was delicious. Well, Tammy, I got the eggplant parmesan, and you didn't. So, and here's where it happens, because God warns us, a sharp word, an angry word can stir up anger. Tammy says to Ted, "You always got to be right." So Ted comes back, "Well, you never listen to me." And out of that, does that sound typical in your home from time to time? Out of that, a fight, tension, relationships are broken. What mattered most in that situation? That a couple was reflecting on a time they had that was wonderful, and they allowed it to escalate because there's a difference of opinions. That's where he had been the last few weeks. Last week we had a wonderful time here with Hope's Treasures and the celebration of just orphan care, foster care. And that was such a touching weekend for us to experience. But I want to bring you back from what Steve and Jeff taught from Romans 14. And I want you to turn to Romans 15. That's where we're at now. And again, we were talking about in a cultural, in the Jewish religion, they had traditions that once in a while, as they stepped into this new area of following Christ, the traditions and cultures began to clash. And Paul is telling them, don't let that happen. What matters most? And how we react to that. I want to tell you a good example of that I've experienced and some of us have as well, where we try to discern what really matters. The elders, some number of years ago, quite a few years ago, we try to get away from once in a while to really just reflect, get refreshed, and have fun. And that is such a rewarding thing for us to do. So pray for us. We haven't had one for a while, but we need to do that again. Us as elders, at times, we shared this in our membership class, there's times that things can get intense because we're trying to iron out the direction that God wants us to go. And we have different opinions, and we try to work that out. And as you know, if you went through the membership class, we don't do anything without a full consensus of where we're going. So that takes time. We have to be patient. You have to pray for us. And God will work tremendous things through that. But as we had this elders retreat that we called it, we went to a restaurant one night. And now I don't drink wine or beer, but my position on that is I believe biblically it's fine to do that. Scripture certainly says, do not be drunk with wine, which is an excess. So I think there's an issue of this as we teach that we work through. I don't have a problem with that. Most of the people in my family do drink from time to time on special occasions, and I think that's fine. Some of the elders practice that, and I think that's fine, but we had one elder that really had a hard time with that and asked us, would we refrain from doing that? This was an opportunity to practice that, which every elder did. And at our time of dinner, we did not do that for the sake of one who had trouble with it. That's the position that God wants us to do, whether it's certain holy days, different things to eat or drink. God wants us to be sensitive. So let's turn to Romans 15 and get into this kind of thought pattern that we want to think, that God wants to really encourage us even more. And I really believe that God wants to sum up through Paul to the Romans his thought on this. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong, and if you read chapter 14, strong in faith. That's what we're talking about here. That's the object. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insult of those who insult you have fallen on me. Even Jesus took the hit many times for the world that he lived in because of who he is and what he said. If Jesus can take a hit on certain things, we certainly can too. And we need to be able to understand that. What matters most? If it's trivial things that we argue, that doesn't matter. Our relationship with God and each other matters. It matters so much that the scripture says this. Listen, if you're worshiping God and you remember that you have something against someone or someone has something against you, stop worshiping me and go make it right with your brother. God is putting on a high emphasis on relationship. What matters most? We shared this in our core values in the membership classes. Our core values: to love God with all our heart, to love each other so that we can have a parallel effect on those who don't know Christ. That's what we want to be about. And what happens here is vital and essential. I want to kind of picture this. I'm a visual guy. Nathan, if you could show this first slide. I want you to kind of discern what's going on here, where are we at? Let's see how this works. Anybody recognize that? Where are we at? Well, of course, you can read it, but... All right. Everybody wave, because the camera's looking at us, all right? All right. It's been... How'd they do that? They haven't changed that. Good. That's a good eye. The steeple is gone. All right, listen. Right here, right now, this is what goes on for the body of Christ, for the sake of Christ. We talked about this in the membership class. This is the local expression of Christ's body here in Willow Grove, as it is all over the world. Put the next picture up, Nathan. All right. Here's my visual. I'm a visual guy. Jesus wants us to get to the top. Right now, we're kind of on a plateau, but we're always moving for the glory of God. But we are moving together. Acts tells us this: God determines the places that you live. God was part of, I love how Rich always says, it's not an accident that you're here today. It's not an accident that you're part of hope. God has brought you here so that together we can climb the mountain where we're at. And I use a mountain because it's not always easy. It's hard. But as we walk through this passage, I want you to think about this. This is what God is instructing us to say, to do, to be, how we think. Can you show the scriptures through that picture? Can you do that? We're going to go back to Romans Verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4. Nathan can do most anything with the computer. But if we lose the mountain, keep the mountain in your mind's eye. Okay? Verse 4. Now again, the contents of learning to live with what's most important, what matters most in the trivialness of life and what it means to follow Christ. Verse 4, he wrote this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Now, at the time that Paul's writing this, he's talking about the Old Testament. I've heard many people in my journey of life talk about the Old Testament. It's not really relevant for today. It's that old stuff. Baloney. God tells us right here, it's not baloney. It's not something that we put in the past. The Old Testament helps us understand, and we can see story after story after story, how God works in the midst of people who obey Him and in the midst of people who disobey Him. The consequences for that and the blessings for that. That's a huge thing for us in the present to learn. Obedience before God is something powerful. So that we as a church want to encourage each other through the Scriptures to endure, to stay the course. Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I see you got it up there. Good going. The journey's tough. Sometimes it's icy. Sometimes we're tired. We need to encourage each other. How wonderful it was for me to experience that. And I just want to share just a quick synopsis of going through this Bell's palsy and how God worked on my heart. First of all, he allowed me to visit our sister Sue, who was in a rehab right around the corner here, who's home now. And with my troubles, I look at someone who just shines Jesus in the midst of, I don't think I could ever go through what she goes through. When you come into her presence, she lights up the room. What a sweet testimony. So God used her to say, what I got's not that bad at all. Now, I felt embarrassed. I felt funny with it. But he put me in a place where he said, it's not that bad. And I talked to him about that. And I've been asking prayer for that. But you guys had an effect on me as well. Just the care, how you loved me through that. I teach Saturday Bible study. The guys were so moved that first Saturday when I received this attack that they just wanted to gather around me and pray and lay hands on me. I can't tell you how much that touched me. A caring place where God wants to transform our lives. That's what we want to be. I received all kinds of concerns and prayers from you guys. I received on the email someone who wrote down verses. Chick, I was thinking about you and praying for you, and here's some verses that popped in my mind. So I read those verses. You talk about endurance and encourage of the Scriptures. God used it to touch my heart, to say, God, you'll get me through this, no matter what. If it never comes back, I'm okay with it, because I know you got my back, and the ones that you have put me in, I'm here on the mountain with Hope Community. They love me. They care for me. We cannot minimize what God can do in our lives when we live out together His purposes. Powerful. Let me go back to verse 5. So that with the encouragement of the Scriptures and having hope, it says this, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. That's God's heart. that we together would have the spirit of unity through Christ. Our Savior is saying, I want you to love each other deeply. We have that all over the scriptures. John 17, while Jesus is preparing for dying, he's praying for you and I and his disciples. Lord, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one. Father, Son. That's God's heart. So I know unquestionably what God's purpose here at Hope is. That we would walk in the Spirit, in the knowledge of God, wanting to obey Him so that we would love each other the way God wants us to love. There's nothing like it. Let me continue. A spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose of being together, even though it's hard, is an opportunity to glorify God. That's what we live for. And we get off at times. So we corporately have to encourage that. We understand, and it's difficult, and it's okay if you didn't sign the covenant. But part of the covenant is saying, being part of Hope and members here is, I am willing to submit to the authority of this church. Wow. That's a huge statement. For us as elders, we don't take that lightly. I'm going to answer to God for how I live and give leadership to this church. But I'll tell you this, and you play a role in this with your prayers. You play a role in this if you see one of us not living according to what Scripture says, that you come to us. And then if you don't hear us, you take another one and come to us. And if we don't hear you, bring it before the church. It's all laid out here, how God wants it to operate. But if you have leaders, and I'm in the room with those other six guys, and I know they have a heart for God. Do they do everything right? Me neither. But I know they have a heart to God, to live for Him, and want to accomplish His purposes. So that we can together walk with God. Now, I do understand, and we've experienced here at Hope, and sometimes you see it on the news, and there's other churches in the area where leadership goes wrong. And it's devastating. And it's hard. But our God, if we cling to Him, can make it for good. And I'll say it this way. Christ is the hope of the world, but the church is His avenue or conduit to accomplish that. Do not ever give up on the church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't have to be here at Hope, but I've seen people who've encountered hardship, slaps in the face by other believers, and they walk away from the church and never attend another one. For Christ's sake, don't do that. Christ died for His church. This is a glorious body of sinners that have been purchased, we sang about it today, by His blood. It cost Him His very life. He died for the church to present it faultless, spotless, before His Father. His church is worth fighting for. And I want to live for Him in the midst of that, so that if I wrong you, what matters most? Living for Jesus. So I need to humble myself and come to you and ask forgiveness if I've wronged you. If I don't know I wronged you, you need to be able to say, Chick, I want to bring attention to something you've done that hurt me. So that we're working together to allow the Spirit of God creating us something that is glorious and special. And there is no other organization in the world that can accomplish what the church can accomplish when it's running on all cylinders. And I say that tongue in cheek. When we are living in the power of God together, that's what we have in the church. 7, verse 7, 15. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. And we see that in his life. To confirm the promise made to the patriarchs, to the Jews. Romans tells us he came to the Jews first, then the Gentiles. So that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Then it goes on to just bring passages from Isaiah and the Old Testament of how God's plan is to take a nation and a people, his church, and put them together to make something powerful and beautiful. And it ends with this in verse 13. This is God's desire and hope for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you and I understand that we are here together, traveling the journey to the celestial city. How many have ever read Pilgrim's Promise? Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read it, what a masterpiece of literature. It just talks about someone who becomes a believer, his name is Christian, and his journey of following God. Not easy. Hear me, not easy, but absolutely worthwhile. That's what matters most, staying the course, because it will be worth it all, as the song says, when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. I just want to share a little example of how the church works in the midst of what's going on in our world today. And not only in our world, but even in the church. And it's okay, I've gotten permission from my daughter to share this one story of hers. Jamie grew up in this church, loved this church. And I'll say this, walks with Jesus, even now, today, her whole life. And for a parent, there's nothing better than that. But she's had her struggles. But God has used this church in many powerful ways. I want to give you one little story. And I know Jerry won't mind me sharing this story. Jerry's mom, Marge Kralin, was one of the old-timers here. A lovely, godly woman. We had a trio of them with Hilda, Val, and Marge, who were prayer warriors. You want somebody on your team that's valuable? There's three gals that were valuable. But Marge cared for Jamie like her own. As a matter of fact, Marge didn't have a lot of money, but she would give Jamie, as Jamie was growing up and even working as a career, as a single woman, would give her once in a while $5. Now, there was a lot for Marge to give, but $5 really wasn't a lot, except to Jamie. God used that $5 and Marge, who would write her cards and tell her, Jamie, I'm praying for you, to give Jamie the ability to stay the course. And Jamie and I talk about this. Jamie's in a position now, still as a single mom, who has kept her life pure. That's amazing today. And I want to tell you this. We know what the world says about that. But even in the church, she has encountered people who have said to her, it's okay. You want to get a man? Well, you know what you got to do. I'm so glad that she shares that with us. Because we can take the scriptures and tell her, you endure. You be encouraged because you're living for the glory of God. And I'll tell you this, and I don't know where you have in your lives, and if you've slipped, ask God to forgive you and stop doing that. Keep yourself pure for marriage. Young people, that's not a light thing to do. We who are old have seen if you don't live in the purity of God, it will bring in all kinds of hardship. And not just in the sexual world, in every aspect of this world, when we don't live with God's design in mind, the consequences are deep. And the church is in place to help those who want to get away from that. And we do that with joy. But my point is this. What Marge did in the life of Jamie may not seem that big, but God has used it in her life to help her say, I'm staying the course, even if my friends don't want to. That can be our story. You can play a role in someone's life here in the church to encourage them, to keep them going, to be living for God by how you love them, pray for them, maybe even have the opportunity to give them $5 once in a while. When we look at the church, it's magnificent. We want to ask ourselves what really matters here. And as we looked at the world and it get closer and closer and looking at Hope Community here in Willow Grove, I want you to visualize our Savior looking down at Willow Grove, at Hope Community. Of course he's looking at the rest of his church around the world. He loves them just as much as us. But he's looking for us to believe what he wants to do in and through us. We can't minimize that. You play a significant role. How you live out your life here at Hope matters. And we can have a powerful effect on the lives of whoever we meet, where we live, where we work, where we play, for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, oh, how we love the work of the cross. We sing about it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The gospel is the essential story of our lives. We're centered in it. We've been redeemed by it. And we ask now that we'll live with it to be able to further your kingdom. Whether it's care for those in Sierra Leone, whether it's to support and encourage those who are foster parents and adopting kids, even as Steve and Phyllis are in that process, we have a significant role to play of love and encouragement. And Lord, we would ask that you would help us to really ask, Lord, what matters? What do I want my life to be about? Help me to have an effect here at Hope in a way that glorifies you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.